What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Clean Eating and Meal Prepping. We have Brittany, Megan Hoover, and Taylor Barros. Am I saying your last name correct?
Barros. Yeah.
Barros? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So down here in Pasadena, there's a lot of Hispanic. So we got to, you know, changes the way you say things. Brittany met on Facebook. She is an athletic trainer in Colorado, also a personal trainer at the YMCA. She does Brazilian jiu-jitsu and is a self-proclaimed clean eating junkie. Did you say junkie if you're talking about clean eating? Is that what you said? So a huge fanatic, I think is what you said. There we go. And Taylor, I mentioned it earlier, is taking her registered dietitian test in December. She's doing an internship right now at Memorial Hermann through the Gatorade internship program, which was a highly selective process, only 10 available throughout the country each year. And she is currently working at Houston Baptist University or with the sports teams at Houston Baptist University, my school that I graduated from. I am Jeremy Jackson. My students will be here in just a little while. And this conversation is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clean eating. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clean eating. All right, Brittany, we're going to start off with your athletic trainer story. So tell me how you got into it and then how you got to where you are right now.
I think I knew I wanted to be an athletic trainer when I was a freshman in high school. We had to take a semester-long class called Freshman Seminar, and we had to do the stereotypical career quizzes and stuff. And sports medicine came up on mine, and that's how it started. I took sports medicine in high school, got my degree in it, and here I am. I'm in my fourth year at my current high school, Woodland Park High School in Colorado Springs, and I enjoy it a lot.
All right, so you skipped over the whole degree part. Where did you go to school?
Oh, sorry. I got my bachelor's in athletic training from CCU Pueblo, and then I have my master's in sports psychology from University of the Rockies.
Master's in sports psychology. We were just talking, Taylor and I, before the show about how she likes for a 300-pound athlete to come in and cry in her office, and I told her she should have done some sports psychology instead of the dietitian.
I don't like it, but it just does something to my heart. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So you have your master's sports psychology in your fourth year as a professional there at the high school. And tell me a little bit more about the current situation. I know you do personal training at the YMCA and you also do the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but you kind of have two full-time jobs, two part-time jobs.
It's a challenge. I'm technically paid as a stipend athletic trainer, so it's like additional duties because typically you work as a PE teacher and then do athletic training as well. But when they hired me, I just do athletic training. I'm actually in the process of trying to get that changed. So I'm working basically 30 hours a week for a stipend pay. And then I work about 10 to 20 as a personal trainer at the YMCA. I do personal training and group exercise, like I teach a yoga class.
I gotcha. Okay. So about 30 hours. So roughly full time at the school doing just athletic training, no teaching involved there, right?
No.
All right. So we're talking about clean eating and meal prepping. And when I just called you, you were actually just finishing up your food, right? The meal that you were just eating, what was that?
The one thing about me that is probably different than most people is I thrive in structure to the point that I can eat the same thing for breakfast. I've been eating the same breakfast or at least some variation of the same breakfast for over a year, and I have yet to get sick of it. So it's a veggie omelet, one cup of veggies. I do spinach, onion, peppers, and tomato, and one whole egg, two egg whites, and then I smother it in green chili. And I eat that every single morning. I never get sick of it. And then I have a half a cup of oatmeal, some variation of oatmeal. Today it was chocolate and strawberries. Sometimes it's apple pie. Sometimes it's banana and walnut, just whatever, different variation. But I eat that every single morning. Never get sick of it.
All right. So I am right there with you. I actually eat, it's oats and peanut butter, vegetable oil or whatever, and brown sugar. So we mix the vegetable oil, the peanut butter, the brown sugar, and like heat it up, pour it over the oats, and then you bake it for seven minutes, and then you stir it around and you bake it for another 7 minutes. And every morning I eat that. I put some chocolate chips on top of it and pour some milk in there. Sometimes my boys will do yogurt and banana instead of the milk and chocolate chips. But pretty much at my house, me and my boys would eat that every morning. They're always like, can I have daddy's granola? Can I have daddy's granola? I'm like, no, there's only one serving left. You can't eat that. Go find something else. So I'm right there with you. It's not that, maybe just you and me are that uncommon. But Brett Singer, who recommended Taylor to come on the show, also told me that he eats pretty much the same thing every morning. So as a registered dietitian. So maybe you're not that unique. Oh. Well, maybe it's not that unusual. What do you think, Taylor?
I think it's good to have a habit. So if you know that you enjoy something and you like something and it feels good eating it, you feel like you can, you know, get through your morning and be with your students. I don't see a problem with eating the same thing or a variation of the same thing. But, you know, you just don't want to get sick of something, right? And then stray away from that forever. So.
Right. So my wife doesn't like to eat bananas, I think, because when she was pregnant, she kind of got like sick of them. Something about the smell irritated. So now she doesn't really like to eat bananas, even though it's a really good food to eat. But, you know, like you said, that psychology and that she got sick of it. So, Brittany, I want you to define clean eating for me.
Oh, okay. For me, clean eating is all about eating food that is nutritionally sound, I guess. So, for example, my dinner tonight is a bison pot roast. That is what I would consider clean eating compared to a pizza from Domino's. You know, it's eating food that is going to nourish your body and be good for your body instead of being detrimental to your body.
All right, so clean eating to you means food that is going to nourish your body rather than be detrimental, right?
Yeah, it's about eating whole food, lots of fruits and veggies for me. That's huge.
All right, Taylor, actually, when I emailed Brett some of the topics, he said that a lot of dietitians don't like the word clean eating. And you and I briefly discussed this beforehand, and the fact that it makes some people feel like have that almost eating disorder mentality of, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. So what are your thoughts, or how would you define clean eating?
Yeah, so a lot of dietitians don't like to label foods as a clean food, a good food, a bad food. You know, we don't want to associate emotion with food, like this is a bad food, I can't have that. So of course, you know, there are items, you're right, that you should eat in moderation, but we definitely don't suggest eliminating anything from your diet, because especially if it's something you enjoy and you crave, you know, what's going to happen the second that you know, let slip a little bit and taste that? You're going to binge on it, and then you're going to feel guilty because you previously eliminated that from your diet, right? So about finding a good balance and eating things that you enjoy that are healthy and have that nutritional benefit, but still allowing yourself to live life, right? And if you want to have a pizza, you know, at Domino's, you don't want to feel guilty about it. And so if you've already eliminated that for so long and labeled it as a bad food, then, you know, that's just not the healthiest relationship with food. I think that's what Brett was kind of saying, that we just don't like to label food as good or bad or clean or unclean.
All right. So Brittany, tell me, you said your dinner tonight is a pot roast. Tell me a little bit more about that. What all went into that?
Yeah, I can actually provide a link to the recipe for you. I have it on my Facebook page. If you want to post that somewhere, I have that available. It's one of my favorite things to make. The nice thing about it is it's a crock pot meal. So you put everything in the crock pot. 12 hours later, it's good to go. Super easy to make. So it's 2 pounds of bison. You can use whatever meat you want. I prefer bison personally. It's a 10-ounce bag of fresh green beans, 6 potatoes, quarters, 2 pounds of carrots, 1 bunch of celery, 1 yellow onion, and 10 cloves of garlic. You throw everything in the crock pot, meat on top. I put a little bit of low sodium beef stock in there to help make everything nice and moist. You don't have to worry about anything drying out. And then the bison actually gets a coffee rub on there for spice. So it's coffee, grounded up coffee beans, cumin, salt, pepper, and garlic powder, and you rub that all over the bison, and it's spicy, but it tastes so good. It's one of my favorite things to make, and it's easy because it's in the crock pot.
Okay, so that, you said a 1 pound of meat and say like 6 potatoes or something like that. So there is, again, several of them, and I'll try and find the link there on the Facebook, or you can share that with me, and I'll put it in the notes.
Yeah.
How long does that feed you?
Six meals for me. So for a larger man, probably more like 4, but for me, it makes 6 dinners.
All right, and then do you have any idea what that one meal cost you?
The bison's a little bit pricier. I think I spent $14 on the bison, but everything else, it's all fruits or it's all veggies. So I think maybe the whole meal cost me $20, maybe $22.
So you're roughly getting 6 meals for, let's just say 24, then that's $4 a piece, right?
Yeah.
And then it's all nutritionally sound. Taylor, how do you feel about the ingredients you said? Does that sound like a nutritionally sound dinner?
Sounds great. Yeah, especially in Colorado in the winter months. That seems like a nice thing to come home to in the crock pot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Brittany, you started this journey for a reason. Tell me a little bit about why did you start the clean eating, the healthy, nutritionally sound eating journey?
I think I've always tried to be relatively healthy, but I got serious about it in 2015, I believe. 2013, I re-tore my ACL in a work-related injury. Had a lot of complications, was hospitalized for a week. So I basically had four surgeries in less than a year. It was a workers' comp injury, so I was put at 11% disability. I couldn't straighten my leg all the way. I ended up having a cyclops lesion that went undiagnosed for a year. So I couldn't walk, couldn't run, everything hurt, and I gained a lot of weight. I weighed 205 pounds, which means I gained 60 pounds from my initial injury date. I became very depressed, and I came to a point where I had a really big wake-up call with some social aspects of my life, with friends and family. And so I knew it was time to get my stuff together. And I had this wake-up call. I was like, I have to get things together. So I became really, really serious about watching things that I ate. I got really serious about going to the gym 5 times a week. And I think I lost 40 pounds in 6 months. And I'm still working on losing a little bit more for jujitsu. I'd like to compete at the lower weight bracket. But I've plateaued a little bit, but I think all things considering, I'm really happy with where I am compared to where I used to be.
All right. So it's kind of understandable. You have an injury. You can't walk. If you continue eating the exact same way, you're going to gain weight because your activity is obviously going to go down. And then you said you gained 60 pounds. You know, it completely changed your social life, the way you viewed yourself. You became depressed. So from... like, what was that like wake up call, and how did you, direct that into a clean eating or a nutritionally sound eating habit?
I am an emotional eater. So when I'm sad, I eat everything. I binge. I'm a binge eater, especially when I'm upset. It's not a good habit to have, but, I think my final wake up call was, when my boyfriend of 3 years at the time broke up with me, and he said, I can't take care of you anymore. I feel more like your caretaker than your spouse, and I just can't do it anymore. And I think that was the wake-up call that I needed, that it's time to get my life together. And, you know, like I said, being an emotional eater, somebody who thrives structure, I learned things about myself that I needed to learn. Like, I know I can't eat the same thing more than 6 times. I get sick of it after 6. So for some reason, that's the golden number. I've tried making 8 servings of something, but after the 6th or 7th, I start to stray off and I want to get junk food. So I know 6 or less for any given thing. And I track my calories, which I know can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. For me, it's about holding myself accountable. So I basically created structure for myself that I was thriving during this depressive phase I was in by creating structure in what I was eating and what I was doing to work out. That became my form of therapy, basically.
All right, so that structure that helped you move past just eating anything at any time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then you said you wanted to lose just a little bit more to get down to the weight class. Now, last week we talked with somebody about an athletic trainer that had an eating disorder, and we talked about that, you know, that magical number. And so I think it was important that you said that you wanted to get down to that weight class for the jiu-jitsu, and not just because it was some like, oh, I have to lose more, I have to lose more, I have to lose more. And so it's not that the eating disorder cycle, it's that I'm trying to get down to this competitive weight class, and that's why I continue to restrict or to, I guess, restrict what you eat so that you fit there. So very cool. All right, so we talked some about some of the meal prepping. Taylor, what are some of the things that you recommend to your athletes about meal prepping?
So a lot of times I'll hear, I don't have 4 hours to meal prep on a Sunday. I have schoolwork. You know, I might not have the space or you know, the equipment, whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't have 4 hours on a Sunday, but I still make it work. You know, you don't need to turn it into some big production, right? You can go to the store and buy rotisserie chicken and buy microwavable rice and frozen vegetables, and that can get you through the week. So I think it's about, you know, finding things that can fit into your lifestyle. So for an athlete, the first thing that I ask them to do is, you know, think back on their week and really think about where they're finding their challenges. Is it in between classes? Is it before practice? You know, where is it? Figure out what time that we're trying to fix. So Brittany, for you, it might just be all day, right? You're not home. It's hard to get food. So, you know, things like a crock pot, I think, are great to come home to. Preparing smoothies in advance and keeping them in your freezer. And you can just kind of take and, you know, grab and go one to have for the week. I did a grocery store tour, a couple of them last few weeks. And I was pointing out, you know, in this section, there's already hard-boiled eggs here. You know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to shell them. They're already done. Individual yogurt cups. So trying to find things that are already made and that you can just kind of run with, and you don't have to spend hours prepping. That's what I think is the biggest thing that people kind of, the misconception about meal prepping.
So find a system that works with what you're already doing, and then if you want to make a change, you just make that gradually rather than all at once. Mm-hmm. All right, Brittany, tell me a little bit about your meal prepping. We already talked about the crock pot, so we know you use that. What does that look for you? Are you every Sunday, you get the whole meals weeks ready? I mean, what does that look like for you?
Sunday is my day. I go grocery shopping. I wash my fruits and veggies, and then I meal prep for the week. So I try meal prep Monday through that following Sunday, because sometimes on the weekends I either have basketball practice or I'm doing per diem work. So, and the weekends is what I struggle with the most, because again, for me personally, I thrive in structure. So Monday through Friday, I have my set schedule. I'm personal training what I can train up to the school. I'm either covering practices and games, and then I go to jiu-jitsu. On the weekends, when things, I don't have that set schedule, things aren't so structured for me, I fall off easily on the weekends. So I need to be extra sure that I'm prepared for the weekends. So on Sunday, I already know what I'm going to make, because I meal plan about a month or two in advance. Like today, as of right now, I think I have my food planned through January, just so I'm well aware of what I'm going to be eating. So I go with my list, I get my food, I come home, I clean it, chop up veggies, wash them, do whatever I need to do, and then I make 5 omelets. Okay.
Let's just try that. All right. So you were saying you've meal prepped a month or two in advance. You already know what you're eating. And so continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. So I bought these individual glass containers, like Pyrex, basically. So not only do I meal prep everything, I've got it all individually packaged in my fridge. So the day of, I just throw everything in my lunchbox. It's already made. It's already packaged. That way I'm not a morning person, so I don't have to worry about waking up an extra 10 minutes early to repackage everything from like a bulk container. So I'm usually in my kitchen most of the day on Sunday, but I have a little TV that's like the size of a computer screen. I throw on some Netflix and I just get it done.
All right. So 2 months in advance.
Yeah.
You got to tell me a little bit more about that process, and also include in there, what if, you know, somebody calls us, hey, you want to go out? How do you work that in there? What if, you know, the cabbage you were going to eat goes bad? I don't know. I don't know how the process looks. I can't really think that far in advance.
I question all the time. I just plan a couple months in ahead, so I'm not buying the food. I use Google Calendar. And one of my favorite ladies that I've gotten a lot of my meals from is a lady by the name of Toscarino. She's got a ton of cookbooks out for clean eating, healthy eating. I love her stuff. But so I plan in advance. And like I said, pretty much everything I eat is the same except my dinner's same. So a typical day of eating for me is the breakfast that I already told you about. Then I have yogurt with some blueberries. And then I work out. So I have my protein shake after that. And then I have my dinner with a salad. And then if I'm still hungry later, I have an apple and peanut butter. So that's a typical day of eating for me. Everything's the same except for the dinner. So I really, the only thing I'm planning out is what I'm going to eat that week for dinner. And so I plan it out in advance. I try and pre-plan my cheat meals, or, you know, going out to eat or anything. I know life happens. Like I got a phone call from my sister the other day. Hey, I'm in town. Do you want to grab dinner? Absolutely, I want to grab dinner. I haven't seen you in a while. So I just rearrange things. It's more of a guideline for me. So I'm I'm aware of where I'm going than it is so much that this is what you have to eat. For me, it's all about giving me that sense of control that I feel like I need, because if I don't have that, I'm going to go get junk food. It's guaranteed.
All right. So Taylor, why don't you talk a little bit about what she said, her process?
2 months in advance seems crazy to me, but if she's, you know, just changing up her dinners, then that might be more realistic. For me personally, I can't do 6 meals of the same thing. So I made a crockpot dish on Sunday and it's Wednesday and I'm like, when is this thing going to be over? Right. So I'll stick it in the freezer and I'll come back to it in a couple weeks or something. I think, you know, you've labeled things as clean or a cheat meal. And so I understand that, you know, you have the structure and it feels good to you and it's working for you. So that's great. But for all the listeners out there, that might not be realistic for everyone. And so, you know, you have your structure and you go to the store and you get all of your ingredients and everything. And that's fine. That's what I always recommend, going to the store with a plan, you know, not straying from your grocery list, all these things that you sounds like you're doing. But I just don't see it being realistic in my life. So, you know, some days at work, I'm off at 5 and tonight I'm working a basketball game until 9. And so it's how am I, and, you know, the same with you as an athletic trainer, you know, you're going to be working games all the time. And I don't know if you travel with your teams, but if you do, how are you going to eat on the road? Do you have a 6-pack bag that, you know, everything stays cool in? So it's just figuring out how it's going to work for Brittany and in her life. But it's unrealistic for me to suggest things like that to my students or clients.
All right. So kind of as we're focusing on the athletic trainer here with this episode, mm-hmm. You know, as Brittany's an athletic trainer, I'm an athletic trainer, you're a professional. Brittany, talk a little bit about that aspect. So we're going to come back to some of the meals, some of the tips and tricks, but this is one of them I want to know is you said you bought the Pyrex containers, but you're also mm-hmm. working between the Y and the school. So what does that look like? Do you have a Yeti cooler in your car that just keeps your food cold or what?
I have 6-pack. So the brand that she just said, I have that cooler. It cost me $70. I think I bought it on Amazon. Hurt my soul when I bought it because it was so expensive, but I've definitely gotten that much out of it and more. It was totally worth the investment. On a given day, so say on a Tuesday, for example, I teach yoga at 7 in the morning. I have clients until noon. I head up to the high school, and then I have basketball games until 9 or 9:30. I don't eat a single meal at home. So the lunchbox that I have packs my entire day's worth of food. It holds everything, and then I have extra space just in case. So I literally pack all of my day's worth of food and eat it wherever I am. So I eat it between clients at the Y. I eat it either after my rush, the after school rush, I'll eat my dinner then, or I'll eat it during halftime of like the JV game of basketball or whatever I can find time to eat. That's usually when I do it, but it is essential. If I didn't have that lunchbox, I don't think I would be as disciplined as I am to stick with what I'm doing.
All right, so I almost always eat breakfast at home. It's pretty much I wake up, I eat breakfast. Like I talked about the granola earlier. That's just my thing. Mm-hmm. I eat right away. So then lunch, I always have, we have a refrigerator here in our athletic training clinic. And it's the, like I usually, this year actually has all been peanut butter and jelly. Normally I'll bring lunch meat and cheese. But I've talked with Brett Singer, some and he's like, you know, a lot of times there's high sodium in the cheese and the lunch meat. And some, you know, if you find a lower sodium option, I was like, I'm gonna just go peanut butter and jelly. It's cheaper and easier. And it stores longer, right? So I'm not sure if it's healthier or not, but maybe Taylor will help me out. So I have that, and then I always have chips. And so right now, I love to eat Fritos with peanut butter and jelly. Like, I think the saltiness of the chips and the, you know, the peanut butter and jelly. Anyway, so that's what I had for lunch today. And so I took a picture, and I was going to send it out, but I just didn't get time. And so this is my clean eating because the water that I was drinking is filtered, right? So I'm eating clean because the water I'm drinking is filtered. And so that's normally what I have for lunch. I already told you, so breakfast is always the same. And then dinner, usually I eat at home. If not, I can eat a sandwich here. I'll bring some leftovers that my wife made. Or if we have a game here, the concession stand, they always give me food. So sometimes, probably like once every 2 weeks maybe, I'll get like a hot dog with chili and cheese and some nachos or something like that. Just because it gives me heartburn if I do that. And so... I'm kind of with you. Like, I prepare. I have stuff here. I'm not going out because some of these coaches I work with, they go out to lunch every day, whether it's Popeyes or Cane's or Jack in the Box. Every day they'll go somewhere different and eat lunch. One, I can't afford that. Two, that wastes so much time. And three, it's so unhealthy. So, Taylor, talk a little bit more about what your situation looks like if you're going to meal prep and take it with you.
So right now I'm bouncing around between four different locations during the week. And so I do the same thing, you know, the night before. I typically take my leftover dinner and we'll bring that for lunch. But I have a lunch bag and I carry that with me throughout the day. But there's other great tools. So Bite Meals, you know, a meal system that can prepare food just like what you're doing on Sundays. You know, they prepare in advance and they drop it off at your house once a week. So if you have the budget for something like that, that could be easy. You know, nowadays there's so many, every restaurant seems to have their menu online and you can find something healthy and you can have Uber Eats deliver the food to wherever you are. So I find that now we're in a good position for to have food readily available whenever, whether it's, you know, you have to go out and grab something if you need to. But I typically just bring all of my stuff and I tell my athletes to bring their stuff with them. Most universities that I've worked with in the past, they have snacks for the athletes to kind of grab. So, you know, at your desk, if you could have bars or things like that ready to go, or nuts or something, so you're not stuck without food at any point, and you do, like you're saying, end up binging when you have nothing to go to. So just kind of thinking about your day and setting yourself up for success.
Hey, yeah. So really, what is it going to look like? You're going, is it Friday y'all are leaving to go out of town?
Well, since it's so close, we're just going to Sam Houston. We're leaving Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and we'll probably get back at 7 p.m.
All right. So what is that going to look like for you?
So I will eat breakfast before I go, just so it's one less thing I have to throw over my shoulder and hurt my back. So I'll have breakfast at home, in my car, probably oatmeal and eggs or something that I can just kind of get down quick. And then I always pack some protein bars or granola bars. The team has lunch, and so when they're eating, all of the athletic training staff will go out. And so sports medicine will all get food, or food will be delivered to the stadium. And so, you know, I have a good relationship with the man who orders that food. And so I can say, hey, will you get me this? And he's pretty nice about kind of incorporating what I want. Or if I have to go out and get something, I'll find something in that area. But if I have my lunch bag, I'll just pack all my meals, just like you're saying. I typically will carry around a shaker bottle with some protein powder or something if I just need something, a little snack, and I don't have a cooler space and I don't want something to go bad. Peanut butter and jelly can last you all day, so things like that. And then when I get home at probably 7 or 8, I'll have dinner. So I'll just keep that last meal for when I get home.
All right, so two things there. One, when I was talking about the peanut butter and jelly, you look like you're about to say something to me, but I kind of kept talking. And then the other thing, the leftovers. Do you think that you probably don't like to have leftovers for 6 days in a row because you eat it for dinner and then lunch? Maybe that's why. So like Brittany's eating it the same dinner for six nights in a row, but mm-hmm. She has a different lunch and different breakfast. So it's
right.
Really not like eating it over and over and over again.
It's not meal after meal, right? It's not exactly. Probably, yeah. But it's just unrealistic for me right now to have time to prepare another, another lunch or something. It's easier just to come home and have a new dinner that I have time to sit down and make. So, yeah.
All right. So then about the peanut butter and jelly.
Well, you know, you were just saying how you used to get a turkey and cheese sandwich, but then you're worried about the sodium. But something like that with the meat has a great, you know, turkey is a great lean protein source. And so then if you're supplementing that with a peanut butter and jelly instead, then it's kind of like, well, yes, you are having less sodium, but now you're not getting like nearly as much protein. So in my case, I would just say, oh, maybe you could just find an alternative, or, you know, a chicken breast on a sandwich or something. But
well, let me.
If you enjoy it, hey, go for it.
If Bill was in here or my wife was in here, you would see that the peanut butter I put on the, like if a jar normally serves like 32, I'm probably getting like 14 servings out of that jar, right? So, I mean, it's super thick peanut butter. So I'm thinking I'm okay. I'm thinking I'm getting enough protein out of that.
Okay.
If not, then I have some trail mix in there. All right. So we've kind of discussed two different systems. Taylor, this one works for you where you make a meal and then you eat it for dinner and then lunch and then make a different meal and you have your cooler. And then Brittany has the same thing for breakfast, same thing for lunch, but a different dinner each week. She has a plan for about 2 months out, prepares that. So let's let's look at more realistically some of the ways that this could successfully work for an athletic trainer, because obviously we all have an athletic trainer's type schedule. Taylor, I know you're not an athletic trainer, but you're going to games, you're at those games, at the practices and that kind of thing as well. So you have a very similar schedule. So what are some of the things that will help us succeed in meal planning and eating nutritionally sound food? So Brittany, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. What are some of the things that, some of the tips you'd like to share?
I think a big thing is keeping healthy snacks on hand, things that you can keep in your backpack, even if you can't grab a cooler. Things like, I know for me, for football games, I keep a cheese stick, an orange, and a beef jerky on me in my med kit. Because one thing that I struggle with, and that you kind of touched on it before, was concession stands. It's really, really easy to go to that concession stand and get junk food, especially when they don't charge you for it. And I've had a tendency to slip up and you know, get some Skittles, get a Dr. Pepper, maybe get a hot dog, maybe get way more than I should. So if I have that food on me, then I'm less likely to slip up and go to concession stands. The other thing for me, a big thing for me is, and it sounds weird, but it makes sense when you do it. I get so full on healthy food that I'm no longer hungry for the junk food. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons why even if I get off work at 6 o'clock, I still eat my dinner at the high school before I leave. Because if I'm hungry on my way home, even if I have that healthy food in my bag, I might stop and get some fast food on the way home just because it sounds better in my head. Like, ooh, do I really want to eat that, that plain turkey breast and sweet potato, or do I really want to get that nice tasty burger from Burger King? In my mind, the burger sounds better. So if I eat at the high school before I leave, I'm not going to fall into that temptation because I'm full. I'm not hungry anymore. No, that burger doesn't sound good. I'm stuffed. So it's just little tricks like that that I have personally found that help me. So keep healthy snacks on hand. And as soon as you feel yourself get hungry and you have a chance to eat, take the opportunity. That way you're not super hungry later and you're less likely to binge on unhealthy food. And drink lots of water. Drinking lots of water helps make you like less hungry, for me anyway.
All right, Taylor, what do you got?
I think that those tips are pretty great. So, you know, be prepared with snacks that are shelf stable and you can just kind of grab and go. I know I have some bars in my car. I have snacks in my backpack that I carry with me. So I'm always, you know, hopefully setting myself up for success in those situations as well. I think drinking water is great, especially at your altitude. Keep it up. That's awesome. So, you know, there's a bunch of tips that I like to recommend to people. So we kind of talked about the crock pot, or we talked about buying foods that are already prepared, as the hard-boiled eggs or the individual yogurts, string cheese, things like that. Then I also kind of, one thing that we haven't touched on is when you are going to do your meal prepping, you have to go through a grocery store, right? You can't just, you know, I mean, you can now order online and just go pick it up at the grocery store, but most of us still like to go to the store and see what's out there and what's new. And so some of the tips that I recommend when I have clients who are trying to figure out their food for the week is, so first, you know, planning your menus ahead of time. So knowing exactly what it is that you want to eat, making a list, sticking to that list. So the problem is, if we go to the grocery store hungry, you know, we're going to walk by an aisle, and if I go to Sam's Club and I'm doing my bulk shopping, you know, I might go to the checkout line with a 10-pound thing of cheese that I sampled and thought was delicious. Like, I'm never going to eat that, whatever it was that I sampled. So just trying to go to the grocery store full, sticking to the perimeter of the store. So if you kind of go in, you put yourself on a time crunch, you can pretty much get everything you need. So you've got your produce, you've got your meats, you've got your eggs, dairy, all of that great nutritionally sound food is right around the outside, and you can just kind of do a quick loop. Buying things in bulk has really helped me. So I will go to Sam's Club, and the produce, you know, if I buy it in bulk, I can eat it for a few days before it starts to turn, because things in bulk, for some reason at Sam's Club, seem to expire faster. But then I can just stick that fruit in the freezer and I have something great to go on my smoothies. Or I can get, you know, a big thing of meat and cook it for having it for the week, or portion it out in little, you know, 4-ounce portions and keeping it in the freezer and pulling what I'm going to use for the week out. So things like that, and just trying to, you know, have a game plan. If you're going to be traveling with the team, knowing where you're going to be eating and kind of finding the restaurants in that area so that, you know, when everyone says, hey, I'm going to go to Burger King, you can say, well, I found a great, you know, Mediterranean restaurant down the street and they have the sandwich that I'm going to go grab there instead. So just kind of knowing what food is going to be available to you. Of course, we all, you know, have situations happen where we don't plan for. So that's why having those shelf-stable snack items in your bag is good go-to.
I think the most obvious thing here, I teach the Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey, and he always says, if you don't have a plan for your money, well, then Visa or MasterCard does. So, like, everybody else has a plan if you don't, right? And so if you don't have a plan for your food, for your health, for nutritional success, then you're probably not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. So just like you said, Brittany, just like you said, plan it 2 months out and then have a plan when you go to the grocery store. I talked to Taylor beforehand. I don't go grocery shopping because it's always more expensive and we always end up with stuff we don't need that wasn't on the list that my wife makes. So if we want to succeed in staying within our budget and eating the food that we buy, then I let her go grocery shopping. If I go, then I'm pushing a separate buggy with the boys in it and we're racing up and down the aisles, right? So I don't do the grocery shopping because I'm not good at it, because I don't have a plan, because I, even if I'm not hungry, it's just like, oh yeah, I like this. You know, oh, look, brisket's on sale. We'll buy that, stick it in the freezer, and I'll cook it at some point in the future, right? And so having a plan, I think that's a great, great deal there. I know Brittany's going to share some of the recipes. So let's talk a little bit about that. Brittany, you said you already told us the bison pot roast. Let's look at some of the other things that you like to prepare and that hold well. But while you're kind of thinking about that, Taylor, you mentioned sticking smoothies in the freezer, mm-hmm. right? So I've thought about this before, because when I get up, a lot of times my kids are still sleeping, so I'm not going to run a blender mm-hmm. and make a smoothie. So maybe everybody else knows this and I don't. How does the smoothie, like, you just stick it in there in a cup and it thaws out as over the next hour? Or, like, how do you take that and go?
Yeah, so it's going to be something like, I would say for a late afternoon snack. So by the time that the afternoon has kind of hit, it's already thawed out enough. And if I have to use a spoon, I'm using a spoon. But it's not going to be ready in an hour for sure. So something, I understand, like, it's hard. You don't want to wake up your kids and things like that. And so maybe just something in a blender bottle that you can shake instead of mixing all the fruit that you maybe made the night before and it sat in the fridge. And so the liquid will separate. But if you can shake it back together, then that might be a good grab and go kind of thing. Or even having like a little magic bullet blender that you can have at your office. So that doesn't create a big mess. You can wash that out in your sink, bring all the ingredients with you and just kind of stick it in the blender cup, or even have the blender cup ready to go from your ingredients from home and just kind of stick it in your blender when you're outside of the house. I know in college, maybe I was crazy, but I would just take my blender outside in the hallway and shut the door and kind of blend my things and then come back into the house and I was done. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Like I've had smoothies that even though they're sitting for like 30 minutes, it's kind of separates yeah. and it grows. But mm-hmm. I guess if you stir it up with the spoon or with mm-hmm. the shaker bottle, then it'll turn out okay. All right. Brittany, we're coming back to you. Some of the other things that you plan out to succeed, what are some of those meals or recipes?
Kind of hitting back on the smoothie thing. One thing that I learned a couple years ago that I think is awesome is your typical blender will actually screw onto a mason jar, the bottom and the blade. So I will put jars of almond milk, banana, and spinach in my fridge just in the jar. And then the morning of, I blend it and then put it in my bag and it's ready to go. So that saves a little bit of time, and it's really convenient. That way you don't have to pour it into a bunch of different containers and whatnot. Other things that I like to prepare, I don't eat a traditional lunch per se. It's more like a bunch of little snacks. Like I said, my yogurt. So I buy plain yogurt in bulk, and then I do half a cup in little containers. I put a little splash of vanilla extract, a little pinch of cinnamon, and a splash of maple syrup, and then whatever my fruit is going to be, usually it's blueberries. Super easy to do, and that way I know that I'm not getting artificial sweeteners, things like that, because I sweetened it myself. Apple and peanut butter is one of my favorite things to eat. I could live on fruits. I struggle getting enough veggies, but I could live on fruit. I love fruit. So apple and peanut butter is another go-to for me.
All right, Taylor, what is something that you would, one of your go-to meal preps?
Oh, goodness. Turkey and cheese roll-ups. So I'll have like wraps and turkey and cheese and just kind of, you know, roll those things up and then they're ready to go and super easy. And
like tortilla and, turkey
yeah,
and cheese?
Mm-hmm, okay. Or like a high fiber wrap or something like that. And that will be super quick and easy, ready to go. This week I did meal prep with some my crock pot. I made some chili, so that's super easy. I stick everything in. 5 hours later, I had dinner. Also, something that I find convenient, if you take like a muffin tin and you can mix some egg scramble and put those in each of the muffin tin slots and then you bake that, you have individual little egg omelets, patties, and you can put those on a sandwich or you can just eat those as snacks. Things like that are super easy. Definitely cheese sticks, jerky. I like a lot of that kind of stuff. I like salty food.
All right, Brittany, what else? Because I'm a burger guy, so right, I love grilling burgers at the house, and usually, you know, with the burger, it's got all the other, the grilled onions and the bacon, the cheese and the avocado and all that other stuff. So help me have a little bit better plan so I don't stop at the burger place on the way home.
For me, I found a big thing is to make food you enjoy. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Another one of my favorite things to make, it's a pain in the tush to make, it kind of takes a long time, totally worth it though. Chicken and spinach lasagna from Pasta Reno. Again, it's in one of her cookbooks. It's amazing. It takes a little while to make, but it's 6 servings of heaven. I also will occasionally make homemade burgers. I use bison instead of beef. Gets it a little bit lower on the fat end. Whole wheat bun, that's my only carb though. So if I'm going to eat it with a bun, I don't have chips, I don't have french fries, nothing like that. Sometimes I'll ixnay the bun and I'll do baked fries instead. But I like to watch my carbs and I'm not getting a lot of starchy carbs. I'd rather it come from fruits and veggies. Another good one, chicken barbecue pizza. Again, a little bit longer to make. So good.
Yeah, I find that if I've spent the money on something, then I'm going to eat it. So if I am working on a budget and I've already bought my ingredients, you know, I don't care what burger joint I drive by, I'm going to get my money's worth and eat what I already have at home.
All right. Any other recipes that you'd really like to share? Any other tips or tricks that we haven't covered in helping us as athletic trainers succeed in winning with food?
Making a habit?
I think the only thing I would double down on is just preparing in advance, whether that means, you know, you go crazy like me and you prepare 7 days in advance and you're planning out a month in advance, which I know I'm a little bit crazy when it comes to that, but it helps me. Or whether it's just day by day, you know, have a game plan. You know that you're going to have that football game on Friday. What are you packing as a healthy snack so that you're not getting junk food from concessions during the game? Have a plan. Know the obstacles that you struggle with. Like I said before, I know that I can't eat the same thing more than 6 times. I know that if I go home on an empty stomach, I'm going to stop at fast food. Those are my vices. Those are things that I learned about myself. So learn about yourself, learn what your vices are, learn what you struggle with, and have a plan to figure out how to deal with those things.
Good. Make a plan. Know your weaknesses. Good. Make it a habit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But make it a lifestyle, right? Absolutely. So you don't want to have it as a diet. You don't want to have it as something you have to do. You have to eat this way. So, you know, incorporate it into your lifestyle. What do you like? Make it fun. Switch it up. Look for new recipes. You see a new food, a new, you know, fruit in the grocery store. Purchase it. See how to cook it. See how to use it. So just keep it fun and be creative with it, I think.
And so, last thing I'll say, sorry. starting is the hardest part. Like you said, making it a habit. Starting is the hardest part. Once you've created that habit, it kind of just becomes second nature. And you know, in the long run, the benefits that you'll see are incredible. Your energy goes up. I know that I had my, a wellness exam done at the Y. My, LDL, HDL are fantastic. My triglycerides are like non-existent. So it makes a huge difference. And if you can stick with it long enough to feel those results, you will never go back.
Okay, so when we're recording this, is different from when it's going to be released on the podcast. So right now, we are 1 week from Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So Brittany, how are you going to win over Thanksgiving again? We're staying away from the, this is a bad food, this is an unclean food, but how are you going to be nutritionally sound and still win over the Thanksgiving holiday?
Currently, I don't really have plans for Thanksgiving, so it's just going to be another day for me. I might end up going up and seeing my siblings if I do that. For me, the game plan is going to be, you know, it's Thanksgiving, that's fine. You can eat the food, just watch your servings, you know. My game plan is you get one plate and you can put whatever you want on that one plate as long as it's not like piled up, you know, it's the leaning tower of food on your plate. So just watch the portion sizes. Get white meat instead of dark meat. Don't have, you know, like 3 cups of potatoes, maybe stick to 1 cup. Watch the portions really is the big thing.
All right, so I am not going to agree with you. My mother-in-law makes this sweet potato thing that's like got sweet potatoes, brown sugar, and pecans on it. I literally, it is my favorite Thanksgiving food I eat, period. And so I'm not going to eat just one serving of that. I'm probably going to eat it like for 3 days, maybe like a couple different times a day. But everything else, I think it's great advice, just not that one, right? All right, Taylor, what do you think? How are you going to win at Thanksgiving?
So a lot of people are so excited about this meal and they're planning on gorging themselves. And so they don't eat earlier in the day, right? I'm just going to wait and I'll eat at 4 o'clock with my family and I know I'm going to be so full. Bad idea. You know, have breakfast, have a lunch or a snack or something. So that by time that way, by the time dinner does come, you know, you're not starving. You have eaten. So you have more self-control. I think sometimes people, you know, forget the vegetables exist at the holidays. And so if you can load your plate up with maybe not so much as the fun food, you know, and you get some veggies, but they're going to be full of fiber and help you feel fuller. So have some vegetables, get some lean turkey in there. And then, you know, of course, indulge and have the rest of whatever else that you want, but just keep it in moderation. I know that I hate the feeling of being so stuffed after a meal where I'm just like sitting there and can't move. So I just try to avoid that, you know. Just going in with a game plan and not waiting till the last second and then eating everything. It's not a good idea.
Something that for me, I know has worked and I'm not very good at it, but like when I go to Olive Garden, I love the stuffed chicken marsala, mm-hmm. right? And so what I'll do is I'll cut that in half and take half the mashed potatoes and I'll slide it to the other side of the plate. So I only eat half so that I take half of it home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have it. And so if I just sit there and eat, then I'm going to leave like 3 bites and be so stuffed. And it's like, well, it's not enough to take home, but I'm sure as heck not going to waste it. I just paid, you know, 15, 20 bucks for this. I'm not going to waste it. And so for me, something that works is like splitting it as soon as you get it, that way you're saving part of it and you're not overeating and stuffing yourself, and you're setting yourself up because you can have that for lunch and then you're not having to go out again or whatever it is. So that's one thing that I know has worked for me as far as winning with food. So, mm-hmm.
And taking a break, have your first plate, take a break. Don't just run back into the kitchen, you know, really pay attention to your body. And if you're hungry, then get more of, you know, a little bit of whatever else it is that you're craving, but definitely take some time, have some water. Food's not going anywhere, you know, unless you have some crazy large family, it's going to wipe it out. But just take it easy. You don't have to eat super quick and all that kind of stuff. Just pay attention to your body.
All right. Taylor, what is the Thanksgiving food that you're probably going to go get seconds of?
Oh, not probably. I will for sure be loading up on green bean casserole. It's my favorite. I don't know why, but it is.
Green bean casserole. Brittany?
I love green bean casserole, but I got to say, I make a fantastic spinach dip that I can probably finish an entire bowl by myself.
All right. So there you go. So again, we're recording this right before Thanksgiving. Hopefully you can win with food and just make it a lifestyle change, make it a habit, make it have a plan, plan a week out, plan 2 months out, get in touch with Brittany and maybe she'll share her Google Calendar with you and she can just be your meal planner. I don't know. There may be a fee involved there, but Taylor is going to be taking the registered dietitian test soon. So actually by the time this comes out on podcast, she probably will have received her results back. So Taylor, somebody wants to get a hold of you and find out more, get maybe have you come talk to them. I know you've been doing a lot of talks. So how are they going to get a hold of you?
So I just created this great Twitter account. So you can follow me on Twitter. Taylor Barrows 3.
I can look it up here in a second.
Yeah.
How else?
But then also you can, you know, I work at Memorial Hermann Ironman. So if you call one of the Ironman locations in Houston, they'll be able to send you my way.
All right. It's Taylor _BARROS 3. Taylor Barrows 3. With the underscore there in the middle. So, okay. So that's her on Twitter.
I should remember that going forward.
And then Brittany, best way to contact you.
Probably my Facebook page, or my school email, which is bhoover@wcsckk12.org. And I do have a Facebook page called Sports Medicine and Performance by Brittany Hoover. It's pretty inactive. I try and use it, but I have shared that recipe on that page. I share, really it's just about me sharing my journey through nutrition, sport performance, things, not only as a practitioner, but as somebody who considers themselves an athlete with jiu-jitsu. So.
All right, so you can reach out to Brittany, find her on Facebook. It's Brittany. I know I misspelled it in the show notes and she went back there and fixed it for me. So it's Brittany. On the
what?
Facebook page, is it says Sports Medicine and Performance by Brittany Hoover?
Yep.
Right. Or Taylor underscore B-A-R-R-O-S 3 if you want to find out more there. I want to do a real quick shout out. I went to a comedian show, John Crist, and I just so happened to run into a guy that I went to college with, Nathan Lilly. So Nathan, I appreciate you listening to the podcast, because he's like, hey dude, I've been listening to your podcast. So, you know, he is a fireman. He works and does like health insurance claims also. And so he's not an athletic trainer. He's not, you know, he just, I don't know. I think we're friends on social media. So then he checked it out. So now he's been listening. So Nathan, I appreciate you listening and then just, you know, telling me about it, because it's really cool to see the people outside of athletic training benefiting from the podcast. I want to remind you to join the email list, because during March, we're going to be giving away a lot of stuff. And then that's also the easiest way for me to kind of consistently communicate there. So again, reach out to Taylor, reach out to Brittany, find out more about winning, sharing her calendar, or those different types of things. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clean eating. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clean eating. And I am Jeremy Jackson, and that is a wrap.